Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like a mecca for geeks in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey, Gad, what are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless to taking over the world. Yes!
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of The Long Box Guys. With me, as always, are some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid. Mike Manning, how you doing and what are you drinking, buddy?
I am doing excellent tonight, and I am drinking a Michelob Ultra.
Ooh, are you going to run a triathlon? Are you going to fuck a girl who's in better shape than you? What are you doing?
Well, the second one, obviously, because you've seen my wife.
Yeah.
Sure.
That goes
solid.
I would say it goes without saying, but you just said it.
Yeah.
But you do want to say it because she's hot.
She is.
Josh, is how are you doing? What are you drinking? Your wife? Yeah. We are all punching up, guys. We are all punching up.
I'm doing good. I am drinking a pale ale from Treehouse, a new one called Tornado. It's really good.
Well, Tommy and I, we don't believe in tornadoes, do we, Tommy? Tommy only gets that joke because we know an independent singer named Hewitt Hunworth, who has a terrific song called We Don't Believe in Tornadoes. Great song, right, LG?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, it is, Tom.
Wow, way to be committal.
That was a way to hesitate.
You don't like that song? It's like my favorite Hewitt Hunworth song. Keep drinking, you freak bat. You don't like that song?
Yeah, it's great, Tom. Wow. How are you doing, Tom? Right.
What are you drinking? I'm drinking Hellborns, which is two kinds of rum and Diet Coke.
Excellent.
Because today we're going to be talking about...
Tom? You know what, Tom? You don't... character said this one time in one of the Defender comics, and you chose tonight's character, Tom. So let the psychosensitive metal of my nether trident probe these grounds. That's our character tonight, Tom. That's a direct quote from our character tonight.
Wow, you just blew your load already, man. I can't believe it. We haven't even introduced the character.
Yeah.
That so was your golden nugget that you were holding?
let our listeners just mull that over for tonight, thinking about who our character is, Tom.
In LT's defense, at least he decided to read some of these comics.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. The guys made the unbelievably bad choice in allowing me to pick this week's subject. So I picked one of my favorite tertiary characters because he has a very interesting backstory and a very interesting history in comic books themselves. Damien Hellstrom, also known as the Son of Satan. LT, do you have something else you wanted to add there?
Well, I think tertiary is too strong of a word, Tom. I think
tertiary. Tertiary? Where are we going here?
I'm just saying, like,
Tom, don't take that from him. Just tell us, Tom, tell us about your choice.
Well, thank you very much, Josh. I will. Damien Hellstrom, also known as the Son of Satan, was created by Marvel Comics in kind of an interesting time. Superhero comics were on the wane. And Monster Comics were the ones that were doing all the business. Their Dracula comic book and their Marvel Monster series, that's where they were making their money. So they decided they were going to have another Monster comic book like Ghost Rider, and it was going to be called The Mark of Satan. But The Mark of Satan seemed to be a little too devil-worshipy for some of the other writers and some of the other people out there. So Roy Thomas and Gary Frederick, the writers who created them, changed it to the Son of Satan. As a matter of fact, in Ghost Rider number one, you can still see the preliminary works for this comic book because they were giving it a little foreshadowing as the mark of Satan instead of the son of Satan. So, fun little fun fact for all of our fans out there. Mark of Satan is mentioned in the Ghost Rider number one, but it actually became son of Satan. So, there was this time when no one was really reading superhero ones. They liked Tomb of Dracula, Ghost Rider. So they made the Son of Satan. Son of Satan, Damon Hellstrom, was the Son of Satan to start with. Later he became retconned as the son of Marduk, demon named Marduk Curios. He also has a sister named Santana. They have a human mother, and they were born in Greentown, Massachusetts, right up the street from LT, actually. I'm kidding. It's a made-up town. I don't know if there is a green town. LT, do you know if there's a green town?
There's a green field, but there's no green town.
All right. So these two characters have a lot of superhero, supernatural powers. Damien tries to hold on to his humanity while his sister, Santana, Santanish, wants to embrace the monster that's within her. So they become at loggerheads. The mother, finding out that the true nature of the father, goes insane and kills herself. Damien goes off to be raised by Jesuit priest. Santanish goes off with a crazy aunt who raises her to be kind of a witch. Craziness ensues. Damien becomes a demonologist and a archaeologist and a few other things, and tries to use his powers to help mankind and defeat his father, who at this point is Satan, but later, once again, retconned as Marduk. I think some of the bigger storylines that involve Damon Hellstrom are his marriage to Patsy Walker, the Hellcat. They marry for a while. She finds out that he's a demon. He tries to give up his demon soul to the Man of Mystery. His demon soul is the thing that has been keeping him alive all these years, so he starts dying. Patsy makes a pact with the Man of Mystery to get him his hellfire soul back, but then she sees his true face. She goes insane, and she kills herself also. He has to go on this epic quest to get her back, eventually becoming the lord of a hell that was ruled by his father, giving the rest of the defenders the power to bring her back to life. After that, he becomes kind of a secondary character. Now, it sounds like I've said a lot that he's been around a lot, but in reality, his comic book only lasted for 7 issues. Then he was part of the Defenders for a while, and after that, he just kind of starts popping up. He also had a miniseries called Hellstorm, where he changed his name to Hellstorm for a while, and he hasn't been that much in the forefront, but I've always enjoyed him. Most recently, he's been in my new team called the Savage Avengers, where he teams up with Conan the Barbarian and a bunch of other crazy characters to fight off the Serpent God Set. That's a nice little coverall for Satan, the son of.
Yeah. So one of the weird things, I think, is the Marduk shift, right? So Marduk in Babylonian he's sort of the high god. He's sort of the good guy. He is the control of all the heavens. He's the god of 50 names. But then later, as Christianity sort of takes over that sort of part of the world, he just becomes known as Baal, or then eventually Baal, B-H-A-A-L, and sort of becomes a symbol of evil as Christianity sort of rolls over all the mythology in the area. But it's I just thought it was interesting that they chose him, because he's sort of the Paladine, the high god of that area. He's not anywhere near related to Satan, except as it's distorted by Christianity.
Well, remember, they were just pulling a lot of names for these gods and these monsters.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
Directly out of nowhere. Like, oh, they saw a blurb, Magog. Yeah.
And I'm
like,
sorry,
Magog.
Like, Marduk kicks Tiamat's ass. So,
yeah.
I apologize in advance.
You son of a bitch.
Tommy, did you read many of these comic books? One of the fun things I liked was the costume design. There weren't a lot of glam rock superhero costume designs. There just weren't. Namor, the early Namor one, was kind of a glam rocky kind of look. And definitely the Son of Satan had this weird glam rock look to him, which I thought was really cool. Can you name another superhero kind of glam rocked up like that?
Dazzler.
Dazzler was more disco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she was the closest. But Josh, that was the only one I came up with, too.
I don't know. How about Luke Cage? He did have that shirt.
Once
He's
again?
Disco. He's disco.
Disco, yeah.
So disco.
Yeah, I'm talking about Gary Glitter glam rock. And Morbius. The only one they. Yeah, Mobius a little bit. Mobius, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Ghost Rider's kind of the punk side of that glam rock. Ghost Rider's the punk side of that glam rock shake.
I'll give you half of that. I always thought it more rockabilly, but okay.
And is it pronounced Damien? I think it's pronounced Diamond.
I think it's Damon. But
Diamond Dallas Hellstrom?
I always thought it was Damien because it had more of a monstrous visage to it. But I read Wind and Wine the same, too, so who knows?
If only there was some magical box that would tell us the pronunciation.
Yeah.
Yeah. If only that technology existed.
Yeah, it doesn't, but so fuck it.
It doesn't.
Yeah, let's talk about how awesome this character is.
Is that what we're going to talk about?
No, probably not. He is just so lame.
Okay, I have to go with one of your favorite lines in all of our podcast history applies to this character. And it applies from a relative parallel in which Mike's education and review of the new Hellboy movie, he declares in the best line of the podcast ever that the villain of the new Hellboy movie is exposition. And I find that the same thing to be true in this case. I don't know if there's another character who has to ask every demon from hell, do you know who I am? And do you know what this trident can do? I mean, it's 90% of this poor son of a bitch's dialogue. And every demon, for some reason, feels compelled to spill their guts to him for fear of torture. Dude, you are from hell.
And you know what, Josh? I think he asks that in a glam rock song every time. Do you know who I am?
It actually makes me angry how many times he asks that question. And how every demon he decides to, I'm using air quotes that the audience can't say, torture. Like, dude, you're a demon from hell. It's pretty much your job to take pain. And, like, this guy's going to, like, burn you on the cheek with a trident. And you're going to spill your guts for fear of being returned to hell? I like the idea of the character. But it just seems for some reason everybody who writes him is just like – compounded by the pain of exposition.
Quick side note, Josh. How was your trip to Secaucus? My question to you then is, if I walked up and said I have the power to send you straight back to Secaucus, wouldn't you spill your guts, you little prick? I banish you to Secaucus.
Not if he was from Secaucus.
Right.
So your argument is faulted.
Faulted.
You got out of Secaucus, motherfucker. You don't want to go back.
All right, so
not from Secaucus. Thank you, Mike. Thank you.
So in the brief interludes of time that I've had off this weekend, I've done some reading of the old Defenders comic books. And I've got to say that I don't understand why multiple times every issue they have to tell me that his trident is made of psychosensitive metal. I just don't understand why over and over and over again they have to mention this.
I can answer that question because every comic book is some reader's first time reading the comic book.
No, Mike, I can understand why in every comic book you have to mention it. I don't understand why you have to mention it every time the man uses it.
Listen, you little prick bastard. Your favorite comic book is fucking Hawkman. And if I have to hear one more thing about Nth Metal, they fucking did a whole series on Nth metal, you prick bastard. That's so mentioning psycho metal every once in a while isn't so bad.
It's a pretty good series, too, wasn't it, Mike?
Was much better than anything that this guy's been in. But here's what I think about this character. First, he speaks in overblown dialogue for no apparent reason. He is from frickin' Massachusetts. He should have a Boston accent. You know, he should be parking his chariot. All right. But instead,
I've been parking my winged horses.
He seems like he's out of some Victorian goth movie instead, the way he addresses everything so formally. It's ridiculous. His premiere in Ghost Rider follows up with his launch into Marvel Spotlight before he even gets his own series, right? And then after both Marvel Spotlight kicks him out and his own series fails is when he fails up into the Defenders. And his four-issue miniseries was just garbage, but I collected it because it was the 90s, and I'm like, maybe this is going to be good, and it wasn't. But that's all right, because he has the potential to be an amazing character, and I don't think that he's actually – no writer yet has achieved that potential because he has the – he could go on the hero's journey. He is using immorally gained powers – to do morally correct things. So there is a possibility to address those issues. If he is so dedicated to fighting Satan, you could have those storylines where he is actually using immoral means to accomplish moral ends and go into that whole justification. But they don't really do that, unfortunately. Instead, he's just a petulant bitch.
Yeah, I he has the backstory to be a very interesting character. For those who watch the Lucifer TV show, there's a very easy parallel here for that character, right? Where he has all this power and all this misunderstanding of humanity that could be brought into a storyline and twisted in very interesting ways in the Marvel Universe, because there are those sort of epic powers in the Marvel Universe. Mephistopheles, there is Ghost Rider, there is Death, there is all the things below that are powerful and engaging in the Marvel Universe that could be entwined here. And no one has taken the time to sort of make those storylines happen. I think the only thing we can possibly do is just have the fifth long box guy,
Mark Russell,
take up the mantle of this character and twine him into the Marvel Universe in the best way possible.
And that would make perfect sense, because this is a guy who was studying to be a priest and has been in the monastery before. He grew up in a Jesuit orphanage, and they never get into that. Instead of him saying, "I have this demonic power that I shouldn't use," he instead goes down into hell and steals that trident and a fucking demon horse-drawn carriage to ride around in.
Excuse me, Mike. Point of correction. It's a psychosensitive. It's a psychosensitive.
Okay, that was good. That was good. That was okay. I'll give you that one.
And another one of his problems is his very first enemy is Satanish, which was originally his father. That's because they didn't want to just say Satan in the comic books. And then it's Marduk. He doesn't have a good or deep bench of rogues, right? Even in the whole time that he starts off with this top-level demon, and then in Marvel Spotlight, he starts fighting lesser demons throughout the series. It's like they blew their load really quickly on the top tier that he was going after. Also, he does have a lot of potential. He's an exorcist, right? He's an occultist. If they focused on that and him disavowing. You know what I would love? He has this mark of Satan burned into him and not even believing that he is the son of Satan. And people would constantly be trying to tell him, yes, you're the son of Satan. You have the demonic powers. He'd be like, nope, doesn't exist. I would love that turn for the character where he is trying to debunk everything, even though it's apparent to everybody who meets him. That would be awesome, too.
You want him to go Amazing Randy on himself?
Yes.
Yes.
He does not exist. That's what I would write, but I'm no Mark Russell, so.
I'd like to see just at least one time where his horses, his fiery horse chariot, horses would take shit and just accidentally set fire to some house somewhere with their burning poo. Just some, you know, accidental damage somewhere. Yes, Mike.
I also have to give full disclosure. I love Patsy Walker. So therefore, I hate the man who married her. Because I want to be that dude.
That's fair.
You're a big man for admitting that, Mike.
Yeah, you're bitterness and angry, Mike. And that is we completely accept that as part of the underlying reason for your exposition. We're all in.
I'm the same way about Tina Fey's husband. He's obviously a nice guy, but fuck him.
Fuck that guy.
And also, you know, when he was created, it was the 70s. Marvel was all about characters with the inner struggle. I mean, Ghost Rider has the inner struggle. Iron Man has the inner struggle where he's battling his demons for alcohol. Marvel has tons of these characters where they're always fighting something and have this inner dialogue with themselves where they're always trying to deny this thing on the inside of themselves that they have to overcome.
Yeah, because inside you're ugly, ugly like me.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's true.
No, I'm beautiful like you.
I'm not nearly as beautiful as Josh.
So does anybody have some Son of Satan comics that they would recommend somebody check out? And I got to warn you, if you do check out those early issues of Ghost Rider, Marvel Spotlight, and Son of Satan, understand that you're reading comics from a different era. And it was written appropriate for that time. You will see him slapping some bitches in his comics because he does not take anything from anybody. It is totally inappropriate, but, you know, she had it coming.
Hey, I know what turns Mr. Fronthand into Mr. Backhand. It's okay. I'm married.
Look, I know what causes the psychosensitive trident to come out from the nether regions.
If you're wondering what I'm talking about, you go read that first appearance in Ghost Rider where this poor young girl gets possessed by a demon and he blames her for getting possessed by the demon and slaps her just because.
Well, it's because what she was wearing when she got possessed by the demon.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, she was asking for it.
She was asking for it.
Send your angry emails to luckybastard at the Longbox Guys, or go ahead and just tweet us at the Longbox Guys.
I'm sure you will.
Christy, I know you're planning on sending us shit.
Hey, you don't want to be possessed by demons? Don't go dressing from stuff from Hot Topic.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying. Look, I have one that I want to say.
Go ahead. If you want to get possessed by demons, stop going to stunt shows. Motorcycle stunt shows is where all the demons hang out. If Ghost Rider has taught us anything, it has taught us that.
Yeah, watch out, Doug Daniel.
All right, so two places now. Hot Topic, motorcycle stunt shows. Any place else?
Apparently monasteries.
Yeah.
If any of his series has taught me, there's a lot of demons who are actually living in monasteries trying to redeem themselves.
Yeah. Abandoned mental institutes.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a good one. Yeah.
Just filthy with demons.
Yeah, filthy.
Filthy. Ugh. Filthy, filthy.
So what do you got to recommend?
So the one I would like to recommend is Defenders. The Sons of the Serpent one.
Oh, early one.
I enjoyed this run a lot. A lot of fun, a lot of cool visuals. He comes riding in and starts saving the day. The Sons of the Serpents have you know, some mystic powers, but mostly they're just kind of a snake-slash-clan kind of deal, trying to turn the hatred of mankind against themselves. It's a fun read. I enjoy it. I enjoy his interactions with Valkyrie. I thought it was a fun comic run.
I tried to read the most recent run, where it's post-Katrina in New Orleans. Did anybody read that? I popped it up on Comixology, and I got two issues in, and I was defeated by exposition.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He does have a TV show coming up, by the way.
No, he doesn't.
He does. He sure does.
No, he doesn't.
Did it get canceled?
It got canceled already?
Marvel TV Studios that was doing the Hulu has been disbanded by Disney, and it's just Marvel Studios now. So all the projects that they had lined up on Hulu are gone.
Right, because Hulu, yeah.
That's too bad.
Marvel on Hulu, so... So, we got to wait for everything that was there to get rescoped, rewritten, recasted, and back on. I know they were already looking at the Moon Knight series to come back real quick. They had considered keeping the casting for Daredevil. They have already started trying to recast Iron Fist. I've heard that there have been casting calls to turn that around. But once they do, all that stuff comes into the MCU. Because it'll officially be on Disney. So although I will miss some of the people, I will not miss some of them. So I hope that we get a little more motion down there. I also heard that the Loki series is going to take the time to introduce a lot of sort of lost leaders into the Marvel Universe for one-shots to see how they do and then determine whether or not those become series in the future. So the Loki time jump thing is really so Disney can basically market test other Marvel characters, which I'm down with. Do that. But get some good shit in there, you know? Disney, do your thing. I understand you own everything. You don't have to listen to me. I know you're not listening, but yeah. Let's get it together. It should be Captain America and Winter Soldier, not Falcon. So don't be an asshole, Disney.
Wonder when they recast Iron Fist, I wonder if they're going to do a whole iPod story.
I think I was going to say something pretty rude about the Iron Fist, and I've decided not to.
LT, you don't want to talk about his time in the West Coast Avengers?
Not really.
Okay. No.
All righty then. Thanks for letting me pick this week's character from you guys to shit on.
No, I think you're wrong, Tom. I think you're wrong.
We like the idea of the character.
Yeah.
We think he has way too much potential that has been wasted. That's because we care about the character. If we just wanted to shit on him, we would.
You know what? I think you're right. I think his best comic is yet to come.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Has to be.
And I think Mark Russell's the guy to do it.
Sure.
I would love to see him tie the religious themes all throughout the universe and get this character as an anchor for what Marvel should do with magic, right? I think everyone has seen Doctor Strange. Everyone knows who Doctor Strange is. And honestly, like I said before, he's not particularly interesting for me. Like, Doctor Strange is not a particularly interesting character. He's always has the magic MacGuffin somewhere in some cloak or pocket. And I would rather see someone who has to stumble through it and have a really hard time but have a real connection to something that involves and integrates into the Marvel Universe. And I think this character could be it, Tom. I think you made a good choice. I think you made a good choice this week.
Thank you.
And I think it's a character that people should take a little more interest in. And although what we've read so far, he's not been given his due. So, yeah, don't feel like we hammered on the character. I think we hammered on the people who mistreated him over the years.
He has the potential to be the next Rocket Raccoon.
Let's not
Rocket Raccoon was a nobody until the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. And now look at how great he's become.
So great. So great.
It's true. If he was a raccoon, I would like him much better.
Yeah.
I know.
Raccoon from hell.
The little trash panda from hell.
That's so awesome.
He's so awesome.
So much worse.
Son of trash panda.
And in order to get into hell, he has to go into a trash can and walk down a bunch of stairs rather than going down into his basement and walking into hell, which is what he does in the comics. I didn't make this shit up. I'm telling you the truth. This is what happens. Yeah. Read the comic.
Read it.
Don't read it.
Read a book. Don't read it. Baby, yeah. Read
it. Yeah, it's not really worth reading. Yet.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Yes. Mikey, what do you got at the front of the long box, you bastard?
At the front of the long box, I have the X-Men plus Fantastic Four, written by Chip Zdarsky. If you remember the reboot of the X-Men that Jonathan Hickman has created, all mutants are now invited to live on Krakoa, and there has been one notable mutant who has not attended yet, and that is Franklin Richards, who is now in his early teens in the comic book series, and he goes to walk through the gateway to Krakoa, but doesn't work because Reed Richards is afraid of his son being stigmatized as a mutant, so does tests on him and makes him undetectable as a mutant, so even Krakoa will not recognize him as a mutant and allow him onto the island, which is, it's a great story premise where a father thinks that he's doing what's best for his son, but denying his son his actual identity. And I think Zdarsky is just the writer to knock it out of the park. It's a four-issue miniseries. If you're a fan of Mutants or of the Fantastic Four, you should be checking it out. And, Tom, you should also want to read it because at the very end, Dr. Doom makes an appearance.
Does he save the day?
Yeah, sure, why not? We'll go with that.
Sure, why not? Almost, yeah.
Depends on what you call the day.
They don't call him Doom for nothing.
Doctor, save the day. It'd be better. Change your name, man. Cheer up. That's all he needs. Tommy, what do you got at the back of the log box, buddy?
Well, I didn't have a lot of time this week, so I'm just going to go with a simple tale from way back when. I'm going to go with Tales to Astonish number 2. I know the secret of the poltergeist. This is a story of a man who goes around debunking stories of supernatural and poltergeists, and he tries to debunk this haunted house that this couple has bought, and it becomes such a huge undertaking for him. And the couple, even though they're like, oh, sure, we believe you, but you know what? We just can't take it anymore. We're going to leave this house anyway. And they leave the house, and at the end, they find out that really the debunker was one of the poltergeists all along. And the classic
spoiler alert
of the old timey comics.
Yeah, thanks for giving that away for us.
It's one of those great, great old tales that where they contain everything in one story, and there's just a great, well drawn old Tales to Astonish.
I really enjoyed some of those one shots.
Yeah, they're great. You should check them out. You can get them on Comixology. They're not on Unlimited, but every once in a while you can get the collected editions on sale for cheap.
I like cheap. Speaking of cheap, Josh.
Hey.
Josh, you got a tangent for us this week?
Yeah, so this week I went to the American Heritage Museum in Hudson, Massachusetts, which sounds like something interesting, but it is, but not what you'd think. So a guy apparently
Josh,
a very wealthy guy, Hudson, Massachusetts, yeah.
is the American Heritage Museum. I thought that was in Lexington.
No.
Are you talking about the Collings Foundation?
Yeah, the Tank Museum.
They opened the Tank Museum?
Yeah.
If you
awesome.
Let him finish his fucking story, we'd story. Find out.
So, last
let's clarify, last there's an American Heritage Museum in Lexington, Massachusetts that does not have tanks. And a couple of years ago, they were trying to open a tank museum in Hudson by the Collings Foundation.
Holy crap, I can't Foundation. Remember how calm Tom is being right now.
It's true.
Yeah. Anyway, I went to a museum this past weekend. Which, from a private collection, the Collins Foundation, a guy just collected tanks. That's all he did. He just loved tanks. He was a multimillionaire who collected armored vehicles from all over the world. Amazing stuff. Like, stuff you cannot see anywhere else in the world. And when he passed away, he left all of his money to a trust to basically take his collection and make a museum out of it. It's a great museum. And you can see armored vehicles from all over the world that you would never see anywhere else. And you certainly wouldn't suspect to see it in Hudson, Massachusetts. It was great. It was a great tiny museum. Loved it a lot. I got to stand next to Soviet T-72s, the M1 Abrams, almost every armored vehicle from 1936 to 2005 is in this museum, most of which are it is the only tank you can see, or maybe one of two on display in the United States anywhere. They actually had a Japanese remake of a Russian howitzer that was used on island hopping. It's a great museum. If you're in Eastern Massachusetts, go see this thing. It's
Josh,
cool.
Josh,
Tom,
did you also get to see the old cars?
It's cool. It's a cool museum.
Did you see the 1930s Cord that looks just like the old cars in the Batman animated series?
I didn't.
Oh. Because they also have pre-1940s cars.
What, Tom, what's going on?
I'm driving Tom crazy right now. That's what's going on.
No, what?
First off, I heard this entire speech about the museum from Tommy about 2 months ago, but he had the town wrong.
No, because
he thinks it's in enough.
It's in Stowe, but they were building a throughway through Hudson.
Yeah, so the entrance is literally in Hudson, Massachusetts, on Main Street. But the access road is so long that the facility is technically in Stowe. So the entrance is actually at 568 Main Street on Hudson, Massachusetts, but the access road is like 2.5 miles long. So the actual museum resides on property in Stowe, but it's a Hudson address. The owner collected, I don't know, it's hundreds of armored vehicles, and the facility is – it's 173,000-square-foot building, so it's a big – it's a big building, and there's probably 60 or 70 armored vehicles in there, like small to full-size tanks. And they do a very good job with the walkthrough. They do video introductions and placards and pass you through everything. It's kind of an amazing museum for the suburbs of Massachusetts.
I definitely want to go see it. By the way, Mikey – when he said T-72, did you automatically go right back to the military and have that playing card in front of you with the T-72 tank on it?
I had a flashback. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. So we used to have to go through these flashcards with all the tanks on it. The T-72 has this big thing at the back of it.
The light.
So you're like,
yeah.
The T-72 has a very just – yeah. So as soon as you said T-72, I saw the fucking playing card so we can see the silhouette if it's going –
yeah, I mean, he has a Panzer tank and a Tiger tank in there. Like some of the only ones in the United States. Things you just don't get to see. And all of them are serviceable vehicles. You can actually pay $2,000 to take an M60 Sherman over through an obstacle course there.
So that's what you want for your birthday next year?
I'm not saying that's what I want for my birthday, but I mean, yeah. Who doesn't want to fucking run over a goddamn car with a fucking tank? Yeah, bitches.
We'll crowdfund this next year. Yeah.
Listen to me, long box.
It does sound like a lot of fun.
It's a great museum. I loved it a lot. It was super interesting. And to get that close to that sort of all the eras of armored transportation throughout military history was really interesting for me. And I'm not sure where my tangent's going, but this is my tangent. It's fuck it. Go to the museum. Fuck you guys. Well, it's awesome.
That's a fine tangent. I love some of that old military equipment. Mikey, did you ever go to a Schützenfest in Germany?
No.
No. So in Germany, every year they'd have a Schützenfest, which all the NATO nations would get together. We'd all bring our weapons, and we'd trade off for the day. And we went to this big firing range, and everyone got to shoot everything. Only time in my life I ever got to shoot an Uzi, because the Israeli soldiers were there, and they had these kind of – they weren't Uzis. They were kind of like an Uzi. But it was super cool, auto pistols, and you got to shoot it downrange. We got to shoot the crossbow that the French have. Like, why do you guys still have a crossbow? That's a really high-tech crossbow, though. And they love shooting the M16s, and we brought some old M1s. We brought a whole bunch of ordnance, and everyone was just firing off everybody else's stuff. So I can see how that would be a lot of fun. We didn't get to drive a lot of their equipment, but we did bring Humvees and set up an obstacle course, and we let everyone go. Well, not a Humvee. It was a 2.5. We brought the 2.5s, and we let everyone drive those around and break those fuckers.
But I'd say, yeah, give yourself 3 hours at the museum, honestly. Like, give yourself a good 3 hours there. It was $20 to get in. It was totally worth it. I just really liked it. Interesting stuff.
So the last time I was there, it was only open twice a year, and they had just a few tanks on display, and they had old airplanes, pre-1940s cars, and race cars.
There's only two planes on display now. They've got a couple of cars. They have one of the Mercedes Mark 8 6-wheel, like, they were just made for the Nazi elite.
Those are super cool.
I was like, you got this in a hybrid? I'm going to drive this thing all day long. The equipment they have, it's pristine. Some of it still has literal, you know, dents and dings from damage and battles. The museum is way bigger now. They do have cars and the trikes and the motorcycles, and they have a lot of transportable things. Anything that was pulled by trailer, it's just a great museum. I loved it a lot. It was very very well done, and they did a great job with everything. It's open every weekend, only on weekends now. But.
Yeah, well, like I said, it was only open twice a year. It was open Columbus Day and Father's Day weekend before. And I don't know if you were paying attention, but a few months ago, like maybe about 4 or 5 months ago, Flying Fortress crashed at Bradley International Airport. Yeah. And that was one of their planes.
The Collins Foundation, yeah.
On the Collins Foundation, yeah. That was one of the planes that they used to run. But yeah. So I'm very glad that they finally got their tank museum up and that they're open more often now.
And you can drive a tank.
You can drive a tank.
There's a small tank you can drive for like $1,000, and the big tank you can drive for $2,000. Just saying. Driving tanks.
I want to drive a tank.
I'm going to join the Army. You get to drive it for free.
It's true.
It's true. Woo-hoo.
I'm not falling for that again. anybody watch us? Anyone still watching Stumptown, by the way?
I haven't started. I am going to watch it, though.
I haven't seen
it. My wife loves it, so I'm all...
Yeah, don't ruin it
for me. I'm all cut up there. I'm just going to say they've been having some fun with the Army-Marine dichotomy all the way through.
Okay.
Yeah. Having fun for us old military vets. It's fun. She's a vet. It's funny. talks a lot about PTSD. Go see it. They handle it very well, I think. But I still have the same problem with it that I've had all the way through, and that is I love seeing Jim Rockford get his ass kicked every week. Don't love seeing her get her ass kicked every week, and I know that's bad of me, but I just don't love it. I think that's just going to be about doing it for us. Let's go to plugs. Who's got some plugs for us?
No 3 to 18.
I didn't have a 3 to 18 in my head this week. Sorry, guys. I'll have something great next week, I promise.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's all right.
It's okay.
How do you like your women? 3 to 18.
None of the above.
Better go 18. So who's got some plugs?
I would like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music every week. You can check them out at kirbycracklemusic.com or go over to Bandcamp. They are going off on a Kirby Crackle Fest tour, I believe, that's starting up in Seattle. So Seattle folks, go ahead and check them out.
Interesting.
Josh, you got anything for us?
I'm going to go.
Shut up, LT! Shut up!
They're getting there, but they're not there yet. But we got our Friendly Neighborhood Comics. They're in their new location. That place is settling up to be clean, but they're not quite there yet. And I just want to say, Pensacon, it is coming up. It is dangerously close, people. If you have not made Pensacon plans, you need to make them today. And this is a week later than I'm telling you to, so you should have already done this. You got to time travel back. You got to fucking Umbrella Academy your ass all the way back to today, the 10th, and make some goddamn travel plans and come see us at Pensacon. Seriously. I ain't kidding. Time travel.
Sleep at our
you know how much I hate time travel.
And if you are going to Pensacon, you should check out our panels. We are hosting Civil Rights and Social Justice Movements as Reflected in Comics on Friday at 1:30 over in Pensacola Grand C. We will also be LT will be the moderator for Drawing Monsters at 4 p.m. on Friday over in Pensacola Grand C. And Tom will be hosting or moderating The Art of Role-Playing in the same room at 5:15, while I will be helping Tony Isabella whip through 3,000 monsters in his cheesy monsters raid again in Pensacola Grand B at the same time. And then, of course, at 6:30 is our perennial favorite, Last Nerd Standing. Wow, it's early this time, so we will be drunk really early on Friday. And then on Saturday, Josh will be the moderator for Writing Horror Comics at 12:15 over in the Pensacola Little Theater courtroom. And then back over at the Pensacola Grand C at 2:45, we will be doing Horrible, Horrible Stereotypes in Comics. And then, of course, at 10:30, we will be rocking all of the ballrooms for Nerd Karaoke with Ian and Tammy Lino from GeekOrthodox.com.
GeekOrthodox.com?
You guys are lame. Yeah, GeekOrthodox.com.
Are they purveyors of fine socks, t-shirts, and stained glass?
They are.
Noice. I would like to plug Alpha and Omega Hobby Shop in Quincy. Alpha and Omega Hobby Shop, they'll take your fucking money.
I'm not playing Dust, no matter how many Nazi gorillas you throw at me. I'll probably
motherfucker, they got remote-controlled, robot-controlled gorilla monkey monsters. How can you not want to play this game with me?
Yes, you monster. Nice.
Reformed.
Oh.
Jews.
Wait, what?
Reformed Orthodox. They're Reformed Orthodox gorillas. Do you see them wearing a yarmulke?
I'm not sure if I'm going to.
I think that's actually a pith helmet, not a yarmulke.
Yeah.
It's a pith helmet.
But that's all right. It's all okay.
I pithed all over you in my helmet.
If you haven't listened to our friends over at whosnextgaming.com, you should go check out their podcast. On the latest episode, they had an interesting discussion about Clark Kent, who Superman recently revealed his identity to the world. And it's a very interesting topic, which we probably should get into someday in the future. Also, I want to have Seth on the podcast coming up soon so we can talk about Titans Season 2. So, Josh, we are going to Pensacola. Is that your sector?
Pensacola, Florida, late February, is absolutely my sector. And I promise anyone who comes down to our sector – I will not allow you to get fatoned.
Excellent.
No one is fatoned in my sector.
LT, what do you think about this podcast?
Well, you know, I think Damon Hellstrom is not the character anyone deserves right now, but he is definitely the character that we'd all like someday him to be better.
And don't forget what Tom always says. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. Even though we diss the hell out of Damon Hellstrom. It's a Greek name. It's Diamond. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening. And we will see you next week on The Long Box, guys. Shadow of the Bat 93. Maybe only one issue.
Shadow of the Batgirl. Shadow on the Batgirl.
Shadow of the Batgirl.
Shadow on the Batgirl.
Shadow of the Batgirl.
Shadow on 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 the Batgirl.